Welcome back to Ask the Pastor, and the scripture theme still remains 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, which says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Okay, we have questions already coming in, and this is saying, "Shalom and good evening, Pastor Moses. My question is this: the blood of Jesus Christ, is it for the cleansing of the believer according to 1 John chapter 1 verse 8, or is it to cover believers, as this is now a prevalent prayer recitation in the church? I cover myself with the blood of Jesus." Sir, which is scripturally sound to say, "I cover myself with the name of Jesus," as seen in Psalm 20 verse 1, Proverbs 18 verse 10, Colossians 3 verse 17, okay, or the former. So it's trying to ask the blood of Jesus Christ. And is it better to just say, "I cover myself with the blood of Jesus Christ," or rather say, "I cover myself in the name of Jesus Christ"?
Well, sometimes some of these questions are unnecessary. Because it is not because you say it, okay, that's why you are saved. Okay. You are saved because you are saved. Okay. And what is it that saved you is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, mm, that you believe. Mm. Yes, you want to confess your faith. Nothing wrong with it. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ, mm, cleanses us. Mm. As we see in 1 John. I hope that's the scripture I was quoting.
Yeah, 1 John chapter 1, verse 8.
Where
it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us."
Yes. Go on. No.
Okay, verse 9 says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, mm-hmm, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness."
Now, what you are, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us there, mm-hmm, is, remember that in Romans chapter 10,
yeah,
is it Romans? Hebrews chapter 10 rather,
okay,
from verse 1 to 4.
Hebrews chapter 10 from verse 1 says, "For if the law, having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect, for then would they not have ceased to be offered, because that the worshippers, once purged, should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices there is a remembrance again made of sins every year." Okay. Verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins."
So the cleansing, the removal, mm-hmm, of the sin nature.
Okay.
It is only the blood of Jesus Christ, okay, that can do it.
Amen.
So the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, okay, has the power to remove the nature of sin. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go to Revelation chapter 12,
okay,
and verse 10.
Revelation chapter 12 verse 10 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." Mm. Verse 11, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, mm, and by the word of their testimony, uh-huh, and they loved not their lives unto death."
So what did they overcome?
By the blood of the
accuser,
Lamb.
The accuser is accusing you of something.
Yes, sir.
Isn't it?
Yes, sir.
If the accuser is accusing you of something, mm-hmm, if that thing that is accusing you, mm, is going to be removed, mm, cleansed, so that the accuser will not be able to see it, mm-hmm, again, that verse tells us that it is the blood of Jesus Christ,
mm-hmm,
that will remove it. That is why he said they overcame death accuser,
yes,
by the blood. Because, mm, with that blood, that thing that is accusing you of is cleansed.
Yes. Mm.
And so when you come to Hebrews chapter 12,
okay,
and then among the things, when you come to Christ, yes, verse 24,
Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24 says, yes, unto
when you
Jesus,
come to Christ, you have come to Jesus,
the mediator of the new covenant.
The mediator of the new covenant.
Unto the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
So that blood speaks.
Yes.
So when you say
blood of Jesus Christ
I'm covered.
Okay.
When you say I am covered by the blood of Jesus, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. Okay. I cover myself with the blood of Jesus. Now when you, because of the power, you know, is in the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ is the price of my redemption.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me. Therefore, you cannot, there's no more condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus.
Okay.
And also that blood of Jesus Christ speaks for me, both before the throne of grace,
Amen.
I'm in the camp of the enemy. Amen. Like he spoke for Abel.
Mm.
Now, therefore, the blood of Jesus Christ is my insurance.
Okay. Yeah.
So if you have an insurance, what do you say?
Mm.
What language do you say?
You speak.
Of, I have a cover. Yeah, I have an insurance cover.
Yes, yes, insurance cover, yes.
I have an insurance cover.
Yeah.
When you have an insurance policy,
yeah.
you are covered
yes.
by the limit of that
yes.
insurance. So also, when you are in Christ, there is an insurance you have
okay.
through the blood of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
So when you say, I cover myself with the blood of Jesus, so that is,
okay.
I come under the assurance, the protection,
okay.
the power of the blood of Jesus. Therefore, I am covered from your attack.
Amen.
And remember, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High
yes,
shall abide. And if Christ is your refuge,
Amen.
Psalm 46,
yes.
if Christ is your refuge,
mm-hmm.
then it is your cover.
Amen.
Uh-huh. So I don't know, you know, it's all a matter of language. When you're in Christ, you're already covered.
Hmm. All right, God bless you. I think this actually shed a further light into what that this very question. Okay, still question two. Is the church going to see the physical third temple erected before the rapture? Is it part of the signs and pointers we are to watch for? And why is it that some denominations don't believe in physical erection of the third temple? Shalom, Brother Goswill from Imo State.
Well, I don't know why they don't believe the physical erection of the temple. But according to the divine agenda, I mean, whatever we say, we're only inferring. There is nowhere written so. But if we make some inference, now, if, for instance, we go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3.
Okay, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2,
verse 3 and 4
says, let no man deceive you by any means.
Now, concerning the coming of the Lord, maybe you read it from verse 1.
Okay, so from verse 1
for
says,
the purpose of the Bible study.
Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus
that
Christ.
Concerning his coming.
And by our gathering together unto him,
uh-huh.
that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin, and that man of sin be revealed,
now,
the son of perdition.
Now watch verse 3. He said, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, the coming of the Lord, shall not come except one of the signs.
There will come a falling away first.
Falling away from the faith, of course,
yes.
you know. And that man of sin be revealed,
Amen.
The son
of perdition.
See the revelation, see his identity, who opposed and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he as God seated in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that takes you to Daniel chapter 9, the covenant that he's going to enter with the Jews.
Yes.
Isaiah calls it the covenant of death. And so it is possible that by the time it reaches the stage where you sit in the temple, and that temple is this very temple, Solomon is asking the question.
Okay.
I think his name is Solomon.
Goswell.
Okay, sorry. He's asking the question. So that temple must have been built. And remember that going to that temple goes with the agreement that is written, which is the last 1 week. And before that 1 week starts, it starts when the rapture takes place. So it's expected that it will have been built before the agreement entered into. And it's not the kind of temple that will be built in 2 months, 3 months. It's a kind of temple that that will be built, and it will certainly take. You know, it's not an ordinary building.
I think Solomon's own took 7 years.
Yes.
Viewed,
okay. We have technology now that we could.
Make
it faster than that. If we look at Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 60.
Okay.
If you look at Isaiah chapter 60, there is. You know, verse 1 says?
Verse 1 says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee.
That scripture is for Israel. Okay?
For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee.
Verse 3.
And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising.
Mm-hmm.
Lift up thy eyes round about, and see. All they gathered themselves together.
Mm-hmm.
They come to thee, thy sons shall come from far,
mm-hmm.
and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side.
And this is during the restoration of Israel.
Okay.
And this restoration, we know, started in 1948.
Amen.
Go on.
Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee.
Mm-hmm.
The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee.
Uh-huh.
The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Media and Ephra.
The dromedaries, yes.
Dromedaries of Media and Ephra. All they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense,
uh-huh.
and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord.
Uh-huh.
All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee.
Mm-hmm.
The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar.
Altar.
And that's, I will that is glorify the house of my glory.
You see, go on.
Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows?
Mm-hmm.
Surely the eyes shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, mm-hmm. to bring thy sons from far, thy silver and their gold,
mm-hmm.
with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee.
Mm-hmm.
And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls,
okay.
and their kings shall minister unto thee.
Uh-huh.
For in thy wrath I smote thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy.
When did he smite them? AD 70. Yes. Go ahead.
Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles,
uh-huh.
and that their kings may be brought.
Mm-hmm.
For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted.
Now note verse 13.
Verse 13, the glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together.
To do what?
To beautify the place of my sanctuary.
That is the temple.
Mm.
Uh-huh.
And I will make the place of my feet glorious.
So that lets you know. And this takes place after the Ezekiel 38-39 war.
Mm-hmm.
And this takes place before the rapture.
Okay. Okay.
So when Ezekiel 38-39 war, that's one of the signs that we know it's time to go. Mm. It's certainly time to go. I don't know what scripture they are using to support what they believe, but this
erected.
Is why I believe that we will see the erection of the temple before we go.
All right, God bless you, brother. God's will, that's two scriptures, very clean and very clear. All right, so we have more questions coming in, and this is from Brother James from Cameroon. He says, Shalom, Pastor Moses and Brother Godson. We say shalom to you as well. I am thankful to the Lord for this opportunity. My questions are, one, shall we have people who miss the rapture in the millennium?
Yes.
If yes, who are they likely to be, and what will be their end?
Yes. Remember that the Bible lets us know that by the time God we finish what is referred to as what we refer to as the day of the Lord, what we understand to be the day of the Lord, the Bible tells us that few men will be left on earth.
Yes.
Few. And if we see, one of the scriptures is Isaiah chapter 24.
Okay.
Maybe from verse 4.
Isaiah 24 from verse 4. Mm. And it says, the earth mourneth and fadeth away. Mm. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The old steep people of the earth do languish.
Mm.
The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof,
mm-hmm.
because they have transgressed the laws, changed mm-hmm. the ordinances, uh-huh. and broken the everlasting covenant.
Very good.
Therefore had the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore,
now, when they say desolate, go ahead.
Okay. Therefore, wasted, the inhabitants yes. of the earth are burned, and few men left.
Again, therefore,
the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left.
Mm. Because part of the way he's going to judge the earth yes. is what you see in verse 20 there.
Okay. Verse 20?
Verse 20 of Isaiah 24.
Mm. Says, the earth shall reel to and fro.
Like what?
Like a drunkard. Yeah. And shall be removed like a cottage.
Okay.
And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again.
Now, so when what Isaiah saw here okay. is what the Lord Jesus Christ was describing in Matthew 25,
okay.
the judgment of nations. Read it from verse 1.
Okay, Matthew 25 from verse 1.
From verse 31.
Okay, verse 31.
Yes.
And it says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left.
Mm-hmm.
Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.
Which kingdom is that? It's the millennium. So, remember that, and this category, if you read further, are those, include those okay. that will, during the tribulation okay, period,
keep the Jews?
That will, yes, okay. that will help hide the Jews from the Antichrist persecution.
Okay.
And those who will be left, God will deliberately leave some people. They will be the ones that will be allowed to enter the millennium to repopulate the earth, because we are coming as angels, so we cannot reproduce okay. ourselves. So yes, there are some men,
okay.
human beings, that will be left to be in the millennium.
Okay. All right, so question two. From our brother, if we have that question two from Brother James from Cameroon says, my next question is in line with Ephesians chapter 6 verse 2, conscious of Psalm 27 verse 10, it says, what is it that can be considered a good reason for a child to ignore the biological father and stick to a step or adopted father?
I don't know, how do you link Ephesians 6:2 is talking about children obey your parents. Mm-hmm. But that is the first commandment that goes with a promise. And then what's the other scripture?
Psalm 27 verse 10. Now, when my father and mother forsake me.
When my father and my mother forsake me.
Then the Lord will take me up.
So what is your question? The question again, please. What is it that can be considered a good reason for a child to ignore
his biological father and stick to a step or adoptive father?
Ignore. You use the word ignore.
Okay.
You have no reason to ignore your father at all.
Okay.
But the father can forsake you, according to the scripture, okay. for any reason.
Okay.
Because Matthew chapter 19.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 19.
Okay.
Verse 27.
Okay. Verse 27, Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?
And verse 29.
Verse 29. And everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake.
For my name's sake.
Shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting
life. So the only reason why your father and mother will forsake you, okay, or you say you forsake your parents,
okay,
it will be for his name's sake. That is at the conflict of religion, okay, conflict of faith.
Okay.
You believe and they are saying, lie, if you will follow that Jesus, then we reject you. And then you are, you by revelation, you know, you cannot go the idolatrous way, you have found life.
Okay.
Now, when that is one of the reasons why your father can forsake you, or you yourself can ignore or forsake your parents. I think that is the only reason acceptable scripturally. Yes.
All right. So God bless you, Brother James from Cameroon. God bless you. We've been having wonderful questions. Oh, we have a call, and this is called me from Brother Oladini Mario from Benin Republic, rather.
Mariano.
God bless you, our brother. Shalom. Can go on with your questions.
Hello.
Sir.
I take to a great part of Mount Blessington.
God bless you, brother.
We don't hear much of English, but we try our best to.
No problem. English is not our language. So go ahead. No, anyhow, you speak and we understand.
My first question is in Luke 24:45.
Okay.
He opened their mind to know the scripture.
Yes.
And the second one is in John 20:22.
Yes.
They received the Holy Ghost or the idea of Pentecost. So I want to know about that one too.
Now, in Luke 24, he opened their eyes to understand. Now, that was not the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He also breathed on... Can you hear me?
Yes.
Now, he also breathed on them, John 20.
Yes.
You know, and say, receive the Holy Ghost. Now, they did not receive that Holy Ghost, even as he has spoken, until he ascended, and even 10 days after his ascension, it came on the day of Pentecost at the upper room. Hello?
Hello, sir.
Did you hear me?
I'm hearing you.
So, are you clear now?
Yes, but I still have one this in maybe.
Go ahead, we can hear you.
In Leviticus 18.
Okay.
Leviticus chapter 18.
About woman beating.
Yes, go on.
I don't know how.
Go on, sir.
Is it that law is still working now as our day now?
Okay, Leviticus 15, verse 18. The woman also with whom man shall lie with seed of copulation, they shall both beat themselves
it's
in
not,
water and
it's
be
those laws, those cleansing laws are no longer applicable because we are now cleansed with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Okay. God bless you.
God bless
Hello,
you.
Sir. Please, I have one more question.
Go ahead.
About the communion, this thing, we saw in your ministry that you are used to do it every month. Is there anywhere in scripture this thing or something
like that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11.
Yes.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 to 26. Listen very well.
Verse 24, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. 25, after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me.
Now, verse 26. Listen, Brother Oladuni.
26. For as often As ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death until he comes.
So offer means anytime, as a regular as you do it. Anytime you do it, offer. I don't know if Oladunni is still on the line.
I'm still on line.
God bless you.
What I'm asking, I see in your ministry,
yes,
you are doing it every month. If you are not wrong, doing mistakes.
That's what I'm telling you now. You say as often as you do. So if you like, you do it every day. If you like, you do it every week. If you like, you do it every month. If you like, do it once in a year. But as any time you do it, as often as you do it, in Acts chapter 2, the Bible tells us that in verse 46, it says, and they, those that believed, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, they said daily, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. That breaking of bread there is a communion bread they are breaking.
Thank you very much, sir.
God bless you too.
Thank you.
Okay, we have another question from Abuja. Sister Ngozi from Abuja says, how do we act according to his will? Because for me, I have been believing God for a baby boy because I already have 3 girls and even made a vow and have fulfilled it. And I'm presently pregnant for 7 months now. Does it mean I'm not acting according to his will? Okay.
Well, there are so many reasons why prayers are answered. Okay. There are many reasons why prayers are answered and answers to prayers either delayed or not even answered at all. And with specific reference to your kind of situation, sometimes it is a way of the way you ask for a female. Is it female?
A male child. She's asking for a male child.
You're asking for a male child. Mm. You may be asking it in a manner that shows ingratitude for the girls he has given you.
Mm.
And remember that there are people that are praying to even have one, whether boy or girl, it doesn't matter. Mm. They are crying day and night if they can just get one. And here you are, you have about 6 of how many?
3 girls.
How many girls?
Three girls.
You have 3 girls. And then you are saying, no, I want this. You have not shown enough gratitude. I will advise that you change your approach to the Lord concerning this, your request, to reflect the fact that you are grateful and for the ones he has given you being girls, and that you will even be further grateful if he can add one more, but let it be a boy, and give him reason why you want the boy. Not because you think the boy will be more valuable to you than the girls, because he's the author of life.
Mm.
And we are supposed to receive everything from him as a gift. And all his gifts, they are perfect. For you don't even know the future of that boy that it may be coming.
Mm.
I may not know the future of these girls that you have.
Mm.
And we have now reached an age where some of these cultural things should not be, found among us anymore. Children are not an asset, though they're a blessing, because it gives you joy that, you have a child to look out for, to be mother to, and things like that. They are all things that affect the emotions and anything, but it has nothing to do with the eternal destination.
Mm.
So you get worried about things that affect the eternal destination as a Christian, not things that have no, value to your salvation. So when you do that, God just looks at you as a greedy person, as an ungrateful person, and as a child without faith. So why not just change the approach and be more humble in the approach, not as a right? Because if you come as a right, then you have a lot of argument to make with God to prove to you that he decides what he should give you and you don't decide it when it comes to life, because he's the author of life.
Mm.
God bless you.
All right. God bless you, Sister Ngozi. Change the approach and be more thankful to God. All right. We have another question, and this is coming from Brother Hilary Chukuma from Germany. It says, Shalom, Pastor Moses Alu. Thank you for opening our eyes again. Please, which of the books of Clarice Larkins speak about the mystery of the seals?
The books, I think I have a copy somewhere. The book that speaks about it is, I have one here.
Rightly dividing the word.
It is titled Rightly Dividing the Word. It is called Rightly Dividing the Word by Clarice Larkins. Okay. So it's in my bookshelf. Okay. It's not for you, it's for me.
All right. So you see that just as the pastor will always say, he says he has the book, so he's not just speaking just for speaking sake.
Yeah.
So if you need some proofs. Okay, we have a call, and this is coming from Brother Emmanuel from Akwa Ibom State. Brother Emmanuel, God bless you, and shalom. This is Ask the Pastor. Please go on with your question.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, God bless you.
Good evening, my brother.
Good evening to you from where you are.
Please, my name is Manuel John. I'm calling from Australia.
Okay.
Please, I want to ask about those all the seven star messengers. I want to ask two questions about them.
Okay.
But the reason of asking this question is about Arinos, St. Martin, and Colombo. Because I know about Apostle Paul, what he brings. I know about John Wesley. I know about Martin Luther. I know about William Branham, what they all bring. So what I want to ask now is it God that made all of them star messengers? That is number one question.
Let me answer that quickly while you are still hanging on. Is it God that made them?
All of them.
God, there's the book of Revelation chapter 1 tells us about the seven churches in verse 10 and verse 11. Just please hang on, because I want to use this opportunity and give a picture that may help somebody. Yes?
Okay, verse 10 says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, verse 11, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and unto Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea.
Now, remember, again, let's read on.
Okay, verse 12. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks.
That's what he saw.
And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with about the paps, with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow.
Now go to verse 16.
Verse 16, and he had in his right hand seven stars.
He had seven stars.
And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in
strength. Now go to verse 20.
Verse 20, the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand,
yes,
and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches.
So we have seven churches, and these, and we have seven
messengers.
Seven messengers, seven angels, messengers to these seven churches. And these seven churches were actual churches in these very locations. But we know that the book of Revelation is a book of symbol. It's a prophetic book telling us about events that shall come to pass. So theologians, and I believe that must be those who actually believe in dispensationalism. Yes. Not too many people believe in dispensationalism, but certainly by the revelation of the Spirit of God, we see that the Church of Jesus Christ was going to go through seven different dispensations. And they are spoken and hidden in the book, in the Bible. Christ himself presented this. Matthew is one of the disciples that captured these parables and in a chronological order. And then I presented these seven different dispensations in a parable form with those seven parables. Each parable was speaking about an age or a dispensation. And the church has been moving until, remember that the church, it is a building of God. Ephesians tell us it's a building of God. If God is building his spiritual temple, just like the physical temple took 7 years, it was also going to take seven different dispensations to finish building that church. The physical temple of Solomon took 7 years with materials from all over the world. So also the spiritual one will be built through seven church ages to be completed, and the rapture will take place. And then each of these ages had the star messengers among those seven stars. And then we saw a beautiful type in the palace of King Ahasuerus, where he had chamberlains. And then he had about nine chamberlains there. So we saw the first group, seven of them mentioned. And then after that, another one mentioned. After that, another one again mentioned. So at each of these is to give us a picture of the Church of Jesus Christ. The king is, of course, Jesus Christ. And the star messengers are the chamberlains. So now your question is it God that selected them? No, we do know that the Bible lets us know that the apostle to the Gentile was Apostle Paul. And so it begins with him. After his age passed, now we want to look at other people that God used in that particular age to keep the light burning. And so theologians looked at the history of the church and began to place them. That is how those star messengers were picked. Now, whether they are the ones, whether they qualify or not, is a different thing entirely. But who is selected can, you know, be subject of a debate and argument. But we all must agree that every age has a star messenger. What is it? It is not to bring anything new. It's just to uphold the light of the gospel, so that we continue from where the apostles laid the foundation for us. So if I just stay within your question, I will tell you, yes, this is the basis for which they are selected. I don't know if...
Yes.
Brother Emmanuel, are you with me?
The second question is, Apostle Paul, just a continuation minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Martin Luther, justification.
Hello?
John Wesley.
Calling your pastors. Still in the same churches.
Go ahead now.
Okay. John Wesley, certification. William Branham, baptism of the Holy Ghost. So what about...
Sorry, again.
And Martin and Solomba, what are they doing? What they read is?
Now, listen. Sorry, you said justification is who?
Justification, Martin Luther.
Sanctification is who?
John Wesley.
How do you know it is John Wesley?
According to his teaching.
Who's teaching? Who taught it?
I think I heard a message like that.
You did not confirm how they are selected? Okay, and then baptism of the Holy Ghost is who?
William Marie Abraham.
No, you are wrong. William Marion Brown did not bring the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost was released before William Branham was even born. Yes.
I know, but the man who brought the picture to us, because people that time did not know about that.
Sorry, I didn't get you.
So people that time did not know about the baptism of the Holy Ghost in William Branham.
You say what?
He was there, but they don't know. I think it's William Branham that brought those things for us to know.
Do you know when William Branham's ministry started? Did you know when it started?
I think 1906.
No. His ministry started 1933. Yeah. Now, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, I'm hearing you.
But the Holy Ghost baptism came in 1906 in the popularly known Azusa Street Revival. And the person that God used was William Simon, not William Branham.
Okay, sir.
Do you understand now? So what do you say?
I understand. Yes, I want to know about Irenaeus, St. Martin, and Columba, how bad they are or how good they are.
I've just told you now, I said it is theologians that brought that dispensationalists and theologists, or theologians, admit me, they are the ones that selected them. And according to them, and even according to William Branham, who also re-echoed it because he was re-echoing what Clarence Larkin wrote when he said that Apostle Paul was the standard that upon which others we are picked. But like I said, I cannot tell you that this is the reason, this is what stood out each of them. But theologians believe it and then brought it out. But I said, generally, we must believe that there will be seven dispensations as we see, and there will be seven star messengers. But now I want to tell you something. Why you can see that I don't seem interested I don't seem interested from the first church age up to the fourth church age. Now, the reason is very simple. Listen very well. From Apostle Paul. Are you getting me?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. From Apostle Paul to what's the name of
Irenaeus.
Okay, Irenaeus. Irenaeus is
St. Martin at Columbus.
Yes, the fourth.
Yeah.
The fourth. Who is the fourth star messenger?
Yes. Columbus.
To Columbus. From Paul to Columbus. Hello.
Yes, sir.
From Paul to Columbus, these four church ages, they were the planting time. They were the planting time of the gospel. Yes. Now, what I will understand this is to go back to Mark chapter 4. Yes, now, verse 26. From verse 26. Listen to that parable. And then you will know why I am more interested in the last three ages and three star messengers. Okay, that is Luther, Wesley, and Simon, William Simon.
Including Apostle Paul.
Eh?
Including Apostle Paul.
Say including Apostle Paul.
No, I've already said Apostle Paul laid the foundation. So, any other person was building on it. But when the next three people were building on it, the next three ages, it took us to AD 325, according to the church history, when this parable was fulfilled. Listen to me, in Matthew chapter 13, this, by the time we get to the fourth church age, by the time we get to the fourth church age, that this parable was fulfilled. Matthew 13 and verse 33.
Matthew 13 verse 33, another parable speak he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened.
The three measures of meal are the three works of grace: justification, sanctification, and baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I wish I can know you are online. Praise the Lord.
Nice.
Okay. Now, the three works of grace are those three measures of meal and that we are mixed with leaven, mixed with false doctrine, and until the whole process of salvation was completely corrupted, which is what sent us to the dark ages. The dark ages there. But Jesus Christ himself has said, except a corn of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. So it is any seed that is planted, if it's going to bring forth much fruit, it must die first. And that is why the first parable in Matthew 13 is about the sowing. Now, about the planting, the second parable is still about planting. But now, this is what is explained in Mark chapter 4. From verse 26, in another parable given by Christ himself.
Verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground.
Yes.
And should sleep and rise night and day.
Mm-hmm.
And the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how.
Because you don't know what happened, but there's a life that is inside. Yes. So what happened?
Verse 28, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of
this
herself.
This seed that was killed was buried. It was buried. When Christianity married paganism in that Nicene Council decision and produced what we know as the Roman Catholic Church, it is in history. I'm not the one saying it, it's in history. Everybody knows it. So that is how the process of salvation were reduced to what their doctrines were, which is what takes us to the third seal in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 5.
Revelation chapter 6 verse 5.
Yes.
And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see.
Uh-huh.
And I beheld, and lo, a black horse.
This horse that started white became red. Now these are all the Antichrist movement, the gates of hell Christ spoke about in Matthew 16. Became black. That speaks of history, lets us know that we now had, when the word of God was corrupted, no more light, we now had a period theologians called the dark ages that lasted for about 1,000 years. Read on.
And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand.
Uh-huh.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny.
Now, that is a description of what Christianity was reduced to. That was when the commercialization of the gospel was practiced by the Roman church. That is when they were now selling indulgences. That is when they were selling. But listen, it is to that last statement.
And see thou hot not the oil and the wine.
But there is going to be a revival. Oil and wine, that is speaking about a revival that is orchestrated by the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Oil there is the Holy Ghost. The wine there is, you know, the excitement of revelation, letting you know it will be a revival.
Yeah.
How did it take place? We'll go to Mark chapter 4 again.
Okay, Mark chapter 4.
Yes.
Okay, verse 28.
Now, verse 28. Now, this is how that seed that was destroyed, that died, buried, now it wants to come up. What is the first thing that comes out?
The blade.
The first is the blade, is speaking of justification.
Then the ear.
Then the next stage is the ear, sanctification.
After that, the full corn in the ear.
After that, you have the full corn, another stage, the third stage, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Verse 29, but when the fruit is brought forth.
Now there is a stage that the fruit will now be produced. The same seed that was planted will have to be produced. That is also another ministry. So you see that there are four stages of growth here. After the thing has come down, began to grow, the church began to grow, it will reach a stage where the three works of grace will be restored back to the church. But along the line, there are other things that we need, you know, because these reformers, according to history, everyone had his own, they ran up. There has to be a ministry that God will raise to put this meal together.
Amen.
You know, and give us the perfect gospel that was delivered through the apostles.
Amen.
To us. And that is why the bread is justification. Yeah. Church history tells us, because in Matthew chapter 13, Matthew 13 verse 44.
Okay, verse 44. Matthew 13 verse 44. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found,
the which?
He hided.
Let me read it again. Okay. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found. That man that found it was, that's the story of Martin Luther. He hid it, and for joy thereof, goeth and sell it. That is, he will do away with all the false doctrine he has had before. All that he had, and embraces, buyeth that field. That is the story of Luther, and that started the Pentecostal movement. That started the Pentecostal movement. Is he still online with us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Then, you know, so that began, Luther began the protesting from that Roman church with one doctrine of justification.
Yes,
after which God fulfilled the next parable, verse 45.
45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pears.
So he is already a merchant man. He was already in the field. There was something else he was looking for after he found justification.
Who, when he had found one pear of great price.
The great price there, because without holiness, no one will see the Lord. He found holiness. He found sanctification. He went and sold all that he had and
bought it.
Who did that? John Wesley. Then, before the next one, verse 47.
Verse 47 again.
Which also... Okay. Is talking about
baptism of the Holy Ghost.
The baptism of the Holy Ghost and the revival that took place. But after that, and that was fulfilled in the upper room in America, the Azusa Street, the popular Azusa Street revival.
Yeah.
And it was spearheaded by a black man. William Branham used to refer to him as the one-eyed black man in the Azusa Street revival that brought back the gifts into the church, which is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the introduction of gifts started then. But God now used William Branham for the perfecting ministry, to bring all those new. He didn't bring anything new. Some followers of that ministry, because they don't study, they don't read, you know, they just, you know, begin this repetition thing, people just repeat what some of us were even guilty of before. But when you begin to study, and these informations are everywhere, you want to be ignorant, you choose to be ignorant. Not that the informations are there.
Yeah.
You know, to see what the history of the church is. Yes. It was William Branham that now brought all this water baptism and then, you know, setting the church in order, the proper church order, you know, and then we have a proper picture. That's the perfecting ministry, to go back to what we have always believed. Yes. The apostles had preached. So that is how we came across them. If our brother is still on the line, am I clear, Brother Emmanuel?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Any more questions?
Please, this one is an appeal. We need the message in Accra from very, very serious. We need it very serious. I know Brother Mondo is there in Atuyo. This man, Abel Domina, has dominated Accra with the strength not in the text messages. So please, anything you can do.
No, it's not. Hello? Ebel Damina has not dominated Akwa Ibom with false doctrine. False doctrine started from AD 325, and it has been on until now. It is for this reason that God has raised ministries, including the Bright Assembly, and given us the Bright Television, so that the elect can hear the truth and come out of such errors. Coming out of error is not just coming out of a church. We are talking about teachings to do away with anything that adds no value to your spiritual life and your bearing from earth to glory. Already the Bright Assembly is in Akwa Ibom. Are you not speaking from Akwa Ibom now? Are you not hearing me now? So we are already there. We are all over the world. And there's no running away from it. We are ready for them. When they teach anything wrong, we will come and correct it. And so as you listen to them, listen to us and see which one is more scriptural and hold on to that which you are ordained to be. Because there are people that no matter, like Cain, no matter how God come to tell them this is the right thing to do, they will never do it. That's why they say they have gone the way of Cain, defiant. And then remember that in the Church of Jesus Christ, we have wheat and tares.
Amen.
A tare will remain a tare, and a wheat will remain a wheat.
Amen.
And also, there is the spirit of truth and the spirit of error.
Yes, sir.
There must be Cain and Abel in the same womb of Eve. They are there in the womb of the church. Okay. But he said his own know his voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. We have elect. We have the chosen ones. Many are called, few are chosen. And he said, the foundation of God standeth sure, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And his own, deep calling to the deep, there's a deep to respond. People who love truth, they will hear the truth and follow the truth. But there are people, the Bible prophesied, that they will not endure it's sound doctrine. But they will heap to themselves teachers with itching ears.
Yes,
he said, many shall give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So it's a prophecy that will come to pass. There are people that will continually follow error. So there's nothing you can do. And they will call the Bible. Even those who claim that they have heard and they are following the ministry of William Branham for perfection, they have turned it into another denomination and injected a lot of errors. But for this reason, we believe God is raising some of us to shine the light before the true elect and remove all confusion. For those who are sincere, not every Christian is sincere, not every follower of the ministry of William Branham followed because they were looking for truth. If you are looking for truth, then anytime you see truth, you will acknowledge it. God bless you, my brother. But I pray that God will locate you before everybody wants fellowship. And somehow, someday, before the Lord comes, you will get to see each other, meet with each other and have fellowship in Akwa Ibom. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Oh, we have a question. Okay, this is Shalom, sir. The seals are mentioned in the book of Revelations by Clarence Larkins also. That's where he spoke in details about the seals and the church.
Oh, right, Jesus, I am. David. Oh, I'm sorry.
The book of Revelations by
Clarence Larkins. Thank you, my pastor. Thank you, my pastor. Sorry, it is... I'm trying to see where. I hope, Olumide, you are not the one that took it. That's why you know it is with you there. You took it from my bookshelf. Olumide, sorry. For those who are looking for reference, please, it is...
The Book of Revelations.
The Book of Revelation, sorry.
By
Clarence Larkins. I thought I have a copy here. I will have... showed you, Olumide took it away, I suspect. I suspect it is with Olumide. Please, the copy is not here now. So it is the Book of Revelation, not rightly dividing the word of truth. Sorry. Thank you for that correction.
All right. We're going to go on a very short break, and when we're right back, it's still Ask the Pastor.